Saul didn't have that. But is that, I don't know. Continue. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great what?
Delight.
Is he happy? Is he delighted? Is he pleased with you? Is he pleased in what? Burnt offerings. What's another word for that? Religious activity or works. That's what this is. Religious activity. Burnt offerings. Why did you go do burnt offerings? For the Lord to what? Forgive you of your... Yeah, that's why. It's religious. Okay? Burnt offerings as and sacrifices. Here's the contrast. As in what? Obeying. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. We're trying to do religious activity and attend church. But are you doing it for the right reason? Do you have that fellowship with God and saying, God, I'm going to church because I love you. I'm going to obey you. I'm not going to forsake this and bring ourselves. By the way, I'm going to be connected to my church, not just show up. As in obeying in the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is what? Better than?
Sacrifice.
Religious activity, than your burnt offering song. Than what you think is better than what I instructed you to do. And to hearken than the fat of what? Rams. See, I noticed that when he was confronted by Samuel, Saul blamed. He blamed. He blamed the people. He blamed the circumstances. He blamed. He said the people did it for this reason, God. The circumstances, right? We got the best of everything, God. He blamed his intentions. It was for sacrifice, God, right? All the best things, right? I'm sorry. He's telling Samuel that. He blamed everything. Even the fact that religious activity, he's like, it's for burnt offerings and sacrifices. But he never simply said, you know what, Samuel, you're right, I sin. That's where many of us lack. I sin. We're still in denial. We still make excuses. What do we call them? We make justifications for doing wrong. Amen. Pastor, you do too? Yeah, it's human nature. That's why you fight this thing every day. Every day. Saul didn't understand that there's a difference between making mistakes and making excuses. I hope you don't fall into that trap. God can forgive failure. He forgave David. Amen? He forgave Paul. Think about it. He killed God's children, Paul, because he thought he was doing something righteous. We don't look down on that, but I don't know what is worse than that. Amen? Murder? Think about that. A lot of Christians that were followers of the way of Jesus Christ, he would, as a Pharisee, chase after them and turn them over to the government so they can do whatever it is in these coliseums and kill them. That's what Paul did, by the way. The great missionary. That's what we remember. Man, he started so many churches. We like the religious activity. We don't like the, what Zach and I were talking about. The true sacrifice. Going through that hardship. It's not easy. Obeying God. That's different. But that's where you find favor. That's where you find favor. We confuse it. God can restore the fallen. God can use broken people. But God can never, will never, has never blessed a heart that refuses to own their sin. Yeah. That's why it looks awkward and different, right? We're like, well, I go to church. I read my Bible. But have you sinned? Oh, no, I didn't sin. They did it. I was just there. But did you sin? Are you humble enough to admit it? You know what? I shouldn't have been there. I sinned. It's that simple. Here's the first point. I'll hurry because I don't have time. Yeah, praise the Lord. Excuses reveal a proud heart. 1 Samuel 15:13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, what did he respond? Blessed be thou, the Lord. I have what?
Performed.
Okay. Performer. High achiever. Amen. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Imagine Saul has openly disobeyed God. Think about it, right? The children of Israel were there. And he greets Samuel as though everything's fine. what I want us to understand is that this is what pride does to us. If we allow it to grow in our heart, it blinds us to the truth. It blinds us to our mistakes. It blinds us to our sin. It blinds us to the things we do on purpose that are wrong. And you know what? Saul did. He declared it himself, right? He declared it, hey, I was obedient. But what did the evidence prove? What did the rams prove? What did the king that was still alive prove?
He disobeyed.
Now, I don't know what's going on in your life, my friends. Can I tell you something? When we're being led by the flesh, it's not going to produce love. It's not going to produce joy. It's not going to produce gentleness, kindness. It's not going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. That's the truth. So when we sit here and say, I have the right because I said so. No. That's wrong. I'm in charge here. No. That's the problem. You are in charge instead of God. Yeah. We're just vessels. These are my children because I have invested in them and almost get ownership in the sense that because I had something to do with them coming to this world, but they're not my children. Whose children are they? Who do they belong to? My God. So am I raising them for Ezekiel Rivera's purpose? The World's Cup? Or am I raising them for God's purpose? The Father's Cup? They're suffering and pain that they're going to have to embrace. I'm not trying to get them to lose when they get adult, they become adults and losing life. I want to raise them for God's purpose, not my purpose. I'm not trying to live, vicariously through my children. God has a greater purpose for them. You follow me? We get to this place sometimes where where excuses reveal our proud heart, but pride blinds us. So, if my daughters were to say, hey, Dad, I know I told you I wanted to, pardon me, I'm sorry, okay, I didn't ask you earlier. Next time I will ask you. Okay. Can I use this as an illustration? Thank you, I appreciate it. You're Catholic. Hurry up, I only have 3 seconds. Yes, obligation, amen, that pressure. You see that manipulation? Pray for me. So my daughter has chosen a pathway for the medical field. And she told us something, so I'm not going to reveal this to everybody else, what she wants to do. But if she were to change her mind and come back and say, Dad, I believe God wants me to go to Christian college and not pursue the medical field. Just so you know who I am, okay? I want my daughters to have something to fall back on, kind of a safety net. I see how sin destroys families. I'm not saying that her husband's not going to provide. I am saying this. Let's say something happens where he passes away early. I want her to be able to sustain herself, provide for herself. So, yeah, in that case, I'm very specific, on purpose, trying to raise them to, hey, get you education. In case something happens, you know how to do a trade or something, right? But if she were to tell me, Dad, I want to go to a Christian college where they don't teach me this. I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Tyler. I'm going to say, what does that mean? Doesn't mean no. And it just means I don't like it. At the end of the day, I have to realize, whose daughter is she? God's. As much as I don't like that, as much as I say, you don't like God, like your daughter to go to. No. Understand where I'm coming from. Okay, I love that they want to serve God. I just want them to get their education so they can fall back on something in case something happens. But if it doesn't work that way, you better believe I'm going to be fasting. Amen. For that man to be able to provide for her and to live a lot longer. Amen. And then maybe later on she can go back to school. I don't know. But I have to eventually be humble enough to say, you know what? If that's what God wants you to do, I'm going to support it. Not, oh, no, you're not, Harmony. You know how much money I spent? Too much, by the way. Amen. How much money I invested? Money I don't have. Amen. But if she decides, no, Dad, it's not about the money. It's not about the career. It's about me following God's will for my life. As hard as that is, I don't know if you can tell that, amen. But as hard as that is for me, I can't allow my pride.
You make up
an excuse and tell her, well, listen, what happens if your husband dies and this and that, and try to scare her, use scare tactics to control her to do it my way. What am I doing there? What's that? I'm doing it my way. What else? If I'm doing it my way, whose way am I not doing it? So what am I doing then? I'm trying to teach her how to be in what? To God.
Disobedient.
In opposition. Does that make sense? We're going to support you, right? We're going to support you. My hair already fell off. But I just want you to understand. You said, Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? Nothing. But I want you to know that pride blinded Saul in declaring that he was obedient, right? Pride, I'm going to tell you something, doesn't merely cause us to sin. Pride convinces us, like it did Saul. Pride convinces us that we're right, even when God says we're wrong. That's what pride does. I've had people tell me, it's not wrong to drink. And you know what? I'm not going to argue with you. Okay, whatever. But I give you scriptures, not just in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, and you still want to believe what you want to believe? Have at it. I'm tired of fighting this crazy. I'm tired. You know what I've learned? I give up, God. I surrender to you, God. If somebody wants to argue that point, God, I pray that they argue with you, not me. I'm just a messenger, man. Don't shoot the mail, man. I'm just bringing the messages from God. Some people argue with me about tithing. Okay. Praise the Lord. You don't want God's favor and blessing upon your life? I get it. That's you, man. Have at it. You don't want to give them your heart because you're stuck on that? That's fine. Well, show me. No, you go study. How about that? Man, every time I show you, it's like, you're just like, oh, well, that doesn't mean, okay, I'm not going to be fighting. My point that I'm trying to make, okay, when it comes down to this, pride, that's what it does. It justifies I'm right, even though God says I'm wrong. Proverbs 16:18. We're going to have to hurry, brothers. I'm going to have to. Pride goes before, just like this. Only you, not everybody else. Really make it clear. But pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a what?
Fall.
A fall. Plain and simple, again, pride blinds a person to reality. Saul, I just want you to know his downfall didn't happen when he lost the kingdom, right? Saul began to descend and everything started going down is when he believed his own excuses. He was too proud to acknowledge that he was wrong. I'm the king. I'm going to do what I want to do. And excuses, I'm going to tell you something, again, is often wearing the disguise of pride. You don't see it, but that's what it is. It's our pride saying, I'm not the problem. I didn't do it wrong. James chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the
problem.
But giveth grace unto the
humble.
You can resist the Bible and what the Bible says and about the teachings. I can't live the Christian life for you, man. It's tiresome to live just my Christian life, my journey of faith. I tell my kids, I can't live it for them either. I'll help you. I will guide you. I will direct you. But you know one thing I'm not going to do, Brother Nickerson? I'm not going to force myself on my children. You're going to do it this way or else. No. Well, Pastor, you're willing for them to go. No. You have to understand. I'm willing to love them to success. I'm willing to wear myself out for them. How? By being the example I need to be. By having devotions and teaching them that I too need to obey these teachings. Because my children are not going to do what I say. I've learned that. They're going to do what I show them. So when I really want to blow up, amen, not that I do ever because I love her, but at the redhead, my wife, amen, I love her. When I want to blow up, no, I don't have time for that. Why? Because I have some girls that need to learn how a man should treat a woman. And guess what I'm not going to do? Mistreat their mom. At least not in front of them. No. I'm not going to do that. You know why? Because I have boys wherever they're at. I have boys that need to learn how to treat ladies. One thing, Brother Zach, and I think Ms. Yahida as well, we're teaching our kids. Young ladies, were y'all supposed to open your doors at the conference? Were you supposed to open your own doors? Yes or no? No? Was it no? Were the other girls of the teen group supposed to open your doors? This one's still learning, and she's the youngest one. Who was supposed to open the doors? Yeah, Chivalry is not dead. That's how you're supposed to treat a lady. And young men, that's how we're supposed to treat ladies. Especially mamas and then wives. No, not wives. This is how we're supposed to treat ladies. With what? Respect. With honor. But I'm going to tell you something. If I'm too proud to listen to my youth pastor, man, I'm not gonna open the door. That's my sister. Man, I'm not gonna open the door for her. She didn't shake my hand during invitation time. I don't know, during the greeting time. If you're gonna be like that, man, you're gonna have a tough life. So, not because you're not gonna find a wife. You probably find one. Amen. But amen. That's not how you treat ladies, and you won't remain married that way. But I'm going to tell you that workplace, that's not how you treat a lady either. In the community, that's not how you treat a lady either. Amen? You treat them with that respect. Pride would tell you, no, I know what I'm doing. But God says that he resisteth the what?
Proud.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not necessarily just the lady thing. It's the fact that God resisteth the proud. If you continuously reject instruction, continuously reject the man of God, continuously reject the ordained authority in your life, like your parents, continuously. Now I get it, some situations are delicate, follow me? If you have a pastor that did wrong or is doing wrong, it's not a man of God, follow me? You have parents that are not living right, I get that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about resisting God, because if it's a man of God, that man is supposed to be talking about who? God's plans. So you're not resisting the man of God, you're resisting God. I don't want y'all to be cursed. I don't want us to get to this place where we make excuses. Honest revealing is our proud heart. It's 10:15. So second point, excuses shift the blame instead of accepting responsibility. That verse. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spread the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. The next verse, 21. But the people, go back.
No.
Go back. And Saul said, they, right? For the
people.
Next verse. Sorry, I just saw that. I did have one on TV. But the
people.
Is he taking responsibility for his action? Let me ask you something. Who's the king here?
Saul.
Who's the leader here?
Saul.
The ordained leader. God ordained leader. But who's leading here? He's not leading here. He's saying who? The people. I want you to understand, this is what happens. Excuses shift the blame instead of accepting. What is it called? Deflecting? Right? It's deflection, right? I'm trying to learn these modern terms. And then people tell me these words, I'm like, oh, wow, it's like a new thing. There's nothing new under the sun. But at the end of the day, it's like, oh, they're shifting blame. Okay, yeah, deflection, right? When someone brings something up to me and if, you know, I did wrong, and no, you should have known it was that person. No, it wasn't me. It was my wife. You know, it wasn't my wife. It was my children. It was my church people, right? But I want you to understand that Saul here, his language is the people. The people. The king was blaming those that he was supposed to what? Lead. Husbands, this is why some of us don't have that respect. All right, we're good? Amen. Because we're not respecting. Sometimes. But the reason I do some things that are not respected. And it's not okay. I know it's hard for some men. Amen. It's called pride. Amen. But I'll be the scapegoat. Amen. I do some things that are not respectable. Some things that are not respectable that I regret that I said. You follow me? Because of the heat of the moment. And here's the truth. When we use the language of blaming others, it's because we're not willing to take responsibility for our actions. If I was in a heated argument with my wife and I say something that I'm going to regret. By the way, the Bible says, let no corrupt what? Come out of thy what?
Mouth.
Proceed up. from seed out of thy mouth. That's a commandment. Right? Do you think it's a corrupt communication if I tell my wife that, oh, you're critical, you're judgmental? But you're the pastor. That's not my place. That's my wife. I'm her what? Husband. What am I commanded as a husband to do?
Love
her criticism. I'm joking. See how you can do this. No, it's to love her. She's a sinner. Just like I'm a sinner. Just like Jesus gave himself for me. Understand that instead of drawing that type of negative, toxic attitude out of her, right? I should lead. And I'm going to tell you something, man. The reason why sometimes our ladies do not want to follow us because we're not respectable. We're just not. They don't want to give us respect. But I'm going to tell you something, ladies, for us, respect is big. The same way that love is big, you know. For us, that's, we breed that. We want to provide for our families. We want to make you proud. We want to provide everything, make your dreams come true as husbands. We do. But here's the thing, husbands, we can't continue using excuses on why we don't keep our word. We can't continue using excuses on why we can't do something. Amen? Saul kept blaming who? The people. He deflected. When, in return, he was supposed to what? Lead the what? The people. Husbands, you're supposed to lead your what? Your wives. Does that mean you tell them what to do? Love them, man. God's telling you how to lead. Right? And ladies. Amen. I'm not appreciating it. But, you know, it's the same thing. You say, well, Pastor, my husband doesn't love me. Are you lovable? I mean, plain and simple. We all need to work on this, right? Ladies are not going to follow boys. They want to follow men that lead. Right? That's respectable. So, yeah, I'll submit to your leadership. Right? Yeah. Ladies? You want men to love you or your husband? Not men. But your husband to love you? Amen. Be the type of lady that he can invest that love in. Right? It's a two-way relationship. It's not the women's fault why the men are tempted. That's old school, man, right? This is how the woman dresses. No, it's because of your eyes, your stinking eyes, Joe. You haven't made a pact with God. He said, I'm not going to look upon a woman. Now, should the lady do her job as far as what God commands her to do? Not job, but her duty, what God commands her to do? Yeah. Modesty's not for men. No offense. I know people are going to like not like that, but show me in the Bible where it's for men. That's specifically in context for the who? For the woman, for the ladies. Now, should I... The only thing I'm commanded is not to put up that is what? That pertains to a woman. Sir, ma'am, I'm not trying to be controversial, but if I'm the type of person that's proud, I would say this. I'm not supposed to put on a dress. Well, don't put on a dress, amen? But I don't know how the men did it back in the days when they put on a robe. Amen. I know. See, it's an illogical fallacy. You follow this thing and it doesn't make sense. Fashions change. I'm not going to put on a dress. My school, I'm old school, I'm not putting on a dress, amen? I'm going to wear pants. But here's the thing. When that verse is given to us in Deuteronomy, we look at it as, oh, it's holy garments. Ain't no holy garments. It's talking about there's a differentiation or there's a distinguish between what? What a man and what a woman is. Guess what God knew before you even thought of it? Transgenderism. That's what that's about. Well, you don't have to like it. I'm just telling you what the Bible is. And you have to understand the children of Israel are coming from a pagan society, civilization called the what? Egyptians. They were into a lot of stuff. And guess what is happening nowadays? You have these situations like, what do you call that famous, they call them what? Drag queens or whatever? I don't know why I'm hitting on this, isn't it? RuPaul? Y'all know what that is? Man, I saw a commercial, I'm like, RuPaul. And then I see it's a dude like a woman. Y'all know what I'm talking about or no? Yeah, some of you are worldly like I am. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, what? And I'm trying to like, cover my kids' eyes. I'm like, what is a commercial? And I'm like, oh no, we're not doing this. Brother Jeremiah, can you imagine putting on makeup and lipstick, anybody coming out with their eyes like that, and a wig? Can you imagine that? No, okay, praise the Lord. Amen. That's a manly response. Don't imagine me like that. It's too late. Amen. But that would be strange, right? Guess what? The Bible's already talking about that kind of stuff in Deuteronomy 22:5. I get it. It's talking about the garments. But it's not about holy garments the same way it's not in the New Testament about the lady's holy garments or apparel. Amen? It's not about that. It's about bringing attention, ladies, to yourself. We're here to glorify God. Well, if I'm proud, guess what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to listen to them. If I'm too proud, I'm like, no, I already made up my mind. Stop allowing excuses to shift the blame. Instead, take accountability. If you thought of the Bible in a certain way and it's wrong, say, God, show me. God, I probably didn't see it that way. I've been taught this way, God. If there's any wrong teaching in me, please show me. How about we do that, right? That's humility. Instead of saying, I'm just not going to listen to that. That's just crazy. That's fine. That's fine. It's just showing your what? Your pride. No, I said don't compromise. Don't compromise. We're not talking about compromising. What I'm talking about is quit carrying a pocket full of excuses why you're not growing. Stop. We have a generation that's coming behind us that needs us.
That's right.
We have a future ahead of us that's bleak.
Yes.
They need to be strong. Guess what we're doing? Carrying our excuses, and hopefully Vince out there, isn't it? Carrying a pocket full of excuses. And when we do that, guess what our children are going to do? Carry a pocket full of excuses instead of getting into the Word of God. Third point, I'm done. I went over. I apologize. Jesus, for real. Thank you for helping me. Amen. Obedience matters more than what? Man, isn't that the truth? What's the next verse, Brother Zach? And Samuel said, let me just jump over here. Behold, to obey is better than what?
Sacrifice.
This was a good intention. We're not going to say it's not, okay? It was a good intention. Saul wanted to give God the honor and glory, but that's not what God asked, was it? No. And to hearken than the fat of lambs. To obey. To yield. Saul was claiming that his sacrifice was like for a noble purpose, right? It's for God. He planned to offer the sacrifice. And here's the thing, though. This is how you can tell. You ever notice people that are spiritual and then people that have the intention to sound spiritual? Have y'all noticed that or no? You can catch it. You can catch it. Because people that have the intention to sound spiritual, it doesn't flow through them. There's like an interruption, a breach in the spirit. But people that are led by the Spirit, it flows. It's not a ritual. It's not an activity of going to church and tithing and soul winning or reading the Bible. We should do all those things, but it's not a show. That's what he was going to show. He was intending to sound spiritual. John 14:15. If ye what?
Love me.
What are we commanded to do?
Love him. Keep him.
Guard him. Protect them. Do them. Well, I go every morning and read my Bible. That's not what he's talking about. Have that relationship with God, that fellowship with God every morning. God measures love by your obedience. We read the Bible, that's great, but what do you do after you read the Bible? What do we do after we read the Bible? Start a gossip session? Start a critical session? I don't know. What do we do? Smoke session? Amen. Alcohol session? I don't know. All these sessions. Amen. Sinful sessions? What do we do? Or do we obey? You see, one's for show, the other one's real. And you know the real one costs. It costs. You have to sacrifice your desires. You have to sacrifice your wants. James chapter 1, verse 22. I just want you to know that God doesn't measure our obedience by emotion. It's by love. Not by intention, by love. I'm sorry, he doesn't measure his love by emotion. He measures his love by obedience. I apologize about that. But ye y'all, doers of the word, but be ye doers of the word and not what? Hearers only. What does he say? Saul? What does he say, Saul?
Deceiving.
Thinking you're right. Deceiving your own what?
Selves.
Hearing the truth and you don't obey, like right now, and you go home and you live in a sinful way, guess what it results in? Self-deception. That's what it's the result. You listen, you know what to do, but you think you're deceiving everybody else and you're not. Well, you probably are, some people, but you're not deceiving God, is my point. Folks, Saul had convinced himself that he obeyed God, but here's what this is showing us. This is proof that the danger of deceiving ourselves is through selective obedience. That's dangerous. I'm going to pick and choose what I want to obey. Be careful. Obedience matters more than good intentions. Last verse. Done. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto who?
The Lord.
What sin are they talking about here? Adultery, yes, correct. Amen. What else?
Murder,
correct. Do you think those two sins in comparison to what Saul did? Do you think those two sins are worse than his? Sin is sin. I get it. Amen. But humanly speaking, taking a life, innocent life, Uriah, right, the Hittite, and then by the fornication under the consent of king, right, doing that, do you think that's wrong? Yeah, that's wrong. That's wrong. And can I tell you something? This is David. The man of God's coming to David the same way the man of God came to who? Saul. Look at the difference. And the Lord also hath put away thy
sin.
Thou shalt not. What?
Die.
Why? I'm not trying to laugh at David, amen. But why did that happen? Why would that occur? Folks, why did God allow that to happen? Because Nathan, when he confronted David, guess who he didn't blame? What does it say? I have
sinned
against the
Lord.
Guess who he didn't blame? The one he committed adultery with. Oh, because she was in the roof, and she was blah, 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 and she should have been out and open. Man, fool, you didn't live back then. I don't know how you figured that stuff out. Amen? That's probably what they did. And David knew that that's probably what they did. That's their civilization. Nah, she should have calmed down. She didn't have AC. She didn't live in the homes we live in. She didn't have drywall. Probably that's a thing that they did, and they probably put curtains around it. Maybe a wind blew. You don't know. David was not where he needed to be.
Right.
Amen. It just gets old when I hear, you know, men, it was a woman's fault. No, it was your fault, bro. Amen. What did David say?
Sin.
I have sinned. It's my fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's my fault. Folks, when we can be humble enough to understand this, that's where the power of God works in your life. This is how God uses you. David did not blame Bathsheba. David did not blame Uriah. David didn't blame anybody. He blamed what? He owned it. I'm not going to make an excuse. That's on me. The same way, folks, many of us have experienced life. I'm not going to blame my dad for turning out the way I did. Guess who I'm going to blame? Those 7 years of rebellion. Big Zeke. Amen? Zeke, the one that crossed the creek. No, but me. It's my fault. Not my dad. I never knew the guy. I just had anger for him. But at the end of the day, I should never use that pocket full of excuses and not do my very best. And not be willing to admit and say, God, those 7 years, maybe he might have been the reason that I thought. Maybe he might have been my excuse, but he wasn't the reason why I did that. I chose to do it, God. That's the difference. How he can take failure and make it into success. It's nothing we do. It's who? God. And the Lord has what?
Put away
this sin. And thou... I'm not done. This is not a license to sin. The whole point is this. This is the response that God honors. I take accountability. I take responsibility. If my marriage doesn't work, it's my fault. If our children, my children, not saying my children, but God's children, if my children do not make it in life and they don't have the tools, not just to survive, but to thrive in the secular world, as Christians, it's my fault. It's my fault. If this church does not continue to succeed,
it's not your fault.
It's my fault. Why? I want God. I need God. I want God to be involved. And the only way he's going to honor or favor you is when you respond the right way. Not like Saul with pride, but like David with humility, saying, man, it's my fault. Bow your head. The altar is a place where excuses